Bibles, please turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 13, if we can, please. Genesis chapter number 13. We started a series on being stuck last week, and we're going to continue that through Wednesdays. Just talking about different Bible characters that got stuck. They got stuck in certain behaviors, certain patterns. And so last time we talked about Jacob, the deceiver, and how he got stuck into that lifestyle of being deceptive and trying to get his own way. And tonight we're going to look at Lot, the worldly man that got stuck in the world. And so Genesis chapter number 13. Genesis chapter number 13. We'll be jumping around a little bit, okay? But Genesis 13 is where we're going to start off with. Joshua, my son, was reading on the handout. He said, "Does the Bible say a lot about Lot?" And I said, "Yes, the Bible says a lot about Lot." And so that'll be my Lot pun, okay, unless I use another one later on, okay? Genesis chapter number 13. Of course, we're going to follow the same pattern we did last time, being stuck. So first off, we'll talk about getting stuck. And then the results of being stuck, and then how to get unstuck from the life of Lot. Let's do this as we get started. Here, it's just a Wednesday night. It's just us. Names, tell someone next to you something you know about Lot, okay? Tell the person next to you, someone nearby, something you know about the Bible character Lot, okay? Ready? Go. Tell somebody near you something you know about the Bible character Lot. Here you go, Nancy. There you go. There you go. You have someone generally in your proximity, Nancy. Good. All right, good. Something you know about the Bible character Lot.
Lot, he wanted the better land, and Abraham was kind of gracious, and he took the mountain area.
Good. He wanted the better land. Very good. Anyone else know something about Lot? Preacher's kid. All right. All right. Good. Yeah. What? I'm sorry?
He moved to Sodom.
He moved to Sodom. Good. What else do we know about Lot?
He had a salty wife.
He had a salty wife. That is true. His wife got all salty with him. Good. At least he didn't assault his wife. All right. What else do we know? Man, I am just so punny tonight. What else do we know about Lot? Anything else? Yeah.
Worldly.
He was worldly. Yeah, that's for sure. What's that?
He got away from God.
Yeah. Was Lot saved? Was Lot a child of God? Yes or no?
Yes.
The Bible actually says he was. 2 Peter chapter number 3. I believe it's 3. It might be 2. We'll look at that in a little bit. So yes, Lot was saved. But certainly, if you looked at his life, you wouldn't think he was, right? So let's jump in. Let's ask the Lord's blessing first, and then we'll jump in, talk about Lot, the worldly man, and how the danger of us falling into that same trap. Okay? So let's ask the Lord's blessing before we jump in. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your love and grace, most of all. And Lord, we thank you that you are always there for us. But Father, I pray that you would protect us from some of these things we'll look at here tonight. Lord, Lot, a man that had a lot of advantages, a lot of opportunities, Father, being related to Abraham, Lord, seeing all the things that you were doing through him, but yet, Father, a man that chose to go the way of the world. So, Father, I pray that you'd help us to not fall into that same trap. As we examine this Bible character, Father, I pray that you'd give us understanding. Give us clarity. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts and challenge us, Father, to not be like Lot, to not fall into some of these traps, to not get stuck. So, Lord, strengthen us and help us in these things, we pray. And then, Father, for anyone in this room that might already be stuck in some way in the world, they've already sunk into the mud, so to speak, of this world. Lord, I pray that by your grace and by your goodness, Lord, that you will lift them up as we know you can. Lord, work in a mighty way through this message. We'll thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's first look, and you have your handout, hopefully. Does anyone not have a handout that needs one? Okay, we got Sarah. Do we have any more handouts back there? David, if you can check. Were we all out of handouts? I'm sorry, I should have printed some more. Sorry about that. All right, let's first look at getting stuck. How did Lot get into the world? Like I said when we were praying, and one thing people didn't really mention is that Lot was related to who, folks?
Abraham,
of course. Lot was related to Abraham. You remember, God came to Abraham. God said, Abraham, I want you to leave your family. Go to a land that I'll show you. I'll make of you a great nation. And Abraham didn't really obey in everything. He brought Lot with him. And of course, he goes, and God begins to bless Abraham. God showed up on Abraham's behalf. He left Haran, his area that he was living in. He was originally from Ur, then lived in Haran for a while. He left that place and came to Bethel in chapter number 12. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And then at this point in chapter 13, after that, he went off to Egypt, which we'll also cover in a little bit of time where Abraham chose not to trust God. And then eventually he comes back to Bethel. But how do you get stuck in the world? Of course, this isn't the story of Abraham. It's the story of Lot. Let's look at it. Genesis chapter number 13. And let's look at verse number 3, can we? Genesis 13, verse number 3. And he, that's Abraham, went on his journeys from the south, that is Egypt. Okay, if you're picturing a map, you have Egypt to the south. And he went up from the south, verse number 3, even to Bethel. Okay, Bethel means house of God. Under the place where his tent had been at the beginning. That's when God really spoke to him. Between Bethel and Hai. Verse 4. Unto the place of the altar which he made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Verse 5. Can we read the first three words together? Ready? And Lot also. So, what about Lot also? Well, Lot also called on the name of the Lord. That's what it's saying. Which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they may dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. Let's summarize. How do you get stuck? Number one, you get cold. You get cold in, number one, your faith. Number two, you get cold in your focus. Here's what had happened. Can I summarize? God came to Abraham. God said, Abraham, I want you to leave your family. I want you to go to a land that I'll show you. The Bible says that Abraham's father was an idolater. He didn't know the Lord. But Abraham chose to follow God. And I imagine, from what I understand about Lot, Lot chose to follow God too. That's why he went. We see that Lot worshipped God. But you see in this passage the first inkling of Lot's faith becoming cold. Here's what happens. Summary. Lot is now prospering. Abraham's prospering. God's blessing them, right? God's blessing them in great ways, and now all of a sudden they're both herdsmen. Now all of a sudden they can't keep straight whose flocks is whose. You can imagine if you have two flocks going together, that's my sheep. No, that's my sheep, right? And that's kind of what's happening. And so Abram goes, and Abraham, of course, right now called Abram, he goes and he gets onto the mountain. He gets onto the mountain and he goes and basically says, okay, here we go. This is the mountain of God. Let's choose where we want to go. You go left, I'll go right. You go right, I'll go left. What does Lot choose? You know what he chooses. Look at it. He chooses himself. He chooses what he wants. He became cold in his faith. Number two, he became cold in his focus. He focused on himself. Abram, of course, was the leader of the family. Abram should have been the one that chose. Abram was the one that had promised to be blessed by God, not Lot. Abram was the one that God came to and said, this will be your land. It all belonged to Abram, folks. It didn't belong to Lot, did it? But what happens to Lot very quickly? He focuses on himself. I'll say now, Vision Sunday's this Sunday, but our focus of Vision Sunday is focus. For 2020, we're focusing on focus. Why? Because we need to have a right focus, don't we? We are very quick to focus on ourselves. How many of you find that to be true in your life? You're very quick to focus on yourself, what you want, what you desire, and very quick to not focus on what really matters. Lot here loses the reality of his faith. He doesn't focus on being near Bethel, the house of God. He doesn't focus on being near the altar of God. No, no, no. Look at verse number 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was what? You see verse 10? Well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord. What's the next phrase? Like the land of Egypt, as thou comest out unto Zoar. Verse 11. And Lot chose them of the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. How do you get stuck in the world? Number one, you become cold. You become cold in your faith. Has it been in your life where you used to be on fire for God and now the things of God aren't that important to you? Now reading your Bible is something you can just kind of put away. Now going to the Lord in prayer is something that you can kind of not worry about. Has your focus gotten more on yourself than on others? Has your focus gotten more on your stuff than that which matters spiritually? Can I say, folks, if that's true, you're in danger of getting stuck. Getting stuck in the world. He became cold. Number two, he became covetous. Verse number 10. There's something that's very interesting that happens to Lot between chapter 12 and chapter 13. And that's that Abraham, in a lapse of faith, decides to go to Egypt. We don't have time to look at it, but Abram goes to Egypt, and Abram's afraid that people will be interested in his wife, and so he says, hey, I want you to lie to everybody, tell them that you're my sister. And what happens? Of course, if you remember the story, Pharaoh goes, he sees Sarah. Sarah's very beautiful. Sarah was a princess of the land of Ur. So he wants to go and set up an arranged marriage. And it says in chapter 12 that Pharaoh goes and brings all manner of things to Abram. Imagine Lot sitting there. We got to kind of read between the lines a little bit. But I imagine Lot's sitting there and he sees all the riches of Egypt that come to Abram. You remember this? All these riches, and there's a little seed that gets planted in Lot. A little bit. It's all of a sudden in Lot. Man, it'd be nice if I had that. Whoa, look at all that stuff. Wow, look at all the riches. Look at all the goods that they have. Well, Abram goes and he decides to trust God. He goes back to the promised land. But you see in verse number 10, we already read it, that there's something that stuck with Lot. That he goes, and as he looks, he sees a land like Egypt. A place that's like what he saw before. He has a seed of covetousness. Can I remind you folks, just because it's the American dream doesn't mean it's a dream worth following? You all with me here? I'm all for you having stuff, okay? I'm not against having things. Okay? Understand that. I'm not against you having a phone. I'm not against you owning a house. I'm not against you owning cars. I'm not against any of those things. But understand and grasp this. If that is your life and that's your focus, then there's a problem there. You all with me here? Lot doesn't even think about Bethel. Lot doesn't even think about the house of God. Lot doesn't even think about worshiping God. He doesn't even think about the dangers of Sodom, does he? He instantly goes and he sees the stuff and he's like, if I go there, I'll get more stuff. Can I say, friends, it's not always good to chase the stuff. Y'all with me here? It's not always beneficial to go and to pursue the promotion. Promotions are great, but if your promotion gets you away from God, that promotion is not a good thing. Y'all with me here? It's good to have a new vehicle, but if your vehicle gets you out of the house of God, it's not a good thing. Am I making sense here? Yeah. Lot focused so much on the stuff, he lost sight of the Savior, he became covetous. Number three, he became careless. Look at verse number 12. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, And Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain. And what's the last phrase of verse number 12? You see it there? Pitch his tent toward Sodom. What does that mean? Pitched his tent toward Sodom. That means that each morning he'd wake up and he'd see the beauty of Sodom. He'd see the splendor of this very wicked city, we'll see in the next verse. He forgot, he became careless about the reality that he would wander. Not wander like, I wonder, but he would wander. Right? Can I say, folks, the reality is every one of us are wayward people. We wander in our hearts, don't we? You with me here? You wander in your heart. If you don't guard yourself, if you don't guard yourself, you're gonna get away from God.
Amen.
Right?
That's right.
How many of you found that in your life? Amen. That you are easy to get away from the Lord? Good. The rest of your life is great. Okay? Good. We do, don't we? We are wayward people that very easily we drift away from God. The Bible describes us as every one of us are as sheep that go astray, right?
Right.
We go away from God. But here Lot is and he doesn't even think about it. He goes and he decides that he's going to pitch his tent towards Sodom. He became careless about his waywardness. Number two, he became careless about this city's wickedness. Verse number 13. The men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. That's about as strong as you could say it. God is saying here, hey, this city was wicked, number one. That word wicked means they would take the things of God and they would twist them to be their own way. That's what it means. That's what wicked means. It says that they're sinners before the Lord exceedingly. See, the picture of this is not just that they sinned and kept it secret. No, no, no. They sinned openly and they didn't care. That's the idea. This is not just Lot going and saying, oh, well, you know, I mean, there's money there. That's fine. No, no, no. Lot is not even taking into account the wickedness that he's bringing into his family. Why? Because he loves the world so much. Can I say, friends, if you love the world, you'll do anything for the world. Jesus said it this way. No man can love two masters. Right? You'll either love one, hate the other, you'll hold the one, despise the other. Then he goes on to say, you cannot serve God and, you know the last word? Man. That means stuff. That means this world. What you can get, you cannot love and you cannot serve. Because if you love that, you will not love God. Can I be very simple, folks? In the middle of the work week, I'm all for you enjoying what you do. I'm all for that. I'm all for you making money. I'm all for that. I'm all for you having good, nice things. I'm all for all of those things. But listen, friends, if that is your love, then you are not loving God. That's the Bible. You don't like that? I'm sorry. Then you don't like what Jesus said, not what I said. Right? Jesus said you can't love both.
Right.
He was willing to open his family up to wickedness. Right? Because he wanted what they could provide. And he didn't think. He wasn't thinking. I really don't think that Lot was like, yeah, I hope wickedness comes into my home. You find out later that Lot was vexed with all this sin. Right? We'll look at that later on. He was tortured by everything that went on. But Lot gradually got into all of these things, not even thinking about it. He became careless about his own waywardness. He became careless about the city's wickedness. Number three, he became careless at God's warnings. We don't have time to look at Genesis 14, but in Genesis 14, another nation comes and they take over Sodom and Gomorrah. And you find here Lot living in Sodom. Yeah, and look at chapter 14 and verse number 12 if you can. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who, what's the next word? Dwelt in Sodom and his goods and departed. You have this progression, don't you? Lot goes and he pitches his tent towards Sodom. He's looking at Sodom. Now you have a little bit of time passing, and what's Lot doing? He's living there in Sodom. Why? Because here he is, and he decided that's where I want to be, and that's where he ended up. And so God comes, and God sends an army in that invades Sodom, goes and takes away a lot of their wealth, takes away a lot of their citizens to sell them into slavery. God, in a miraculous way, sends Abraham, and God says, hey, Abraham, you go, you attack him. Abraham goes and gathers some of his servants. And can you picture this? Can you imagine if one guy goes and takes a couple hundred people that work for him, and he says, okay, we're going to invade this nation. Can you imagine that going well? Let me give you a hint. That doesn't go well. Right? Y'all with me here? A bunch of shepherds, they don't take over a nation. But what does God do? God, with Abraham and these couple hundred servants, they go and they take over. They do a sneak attack at night. They deliver everybody, including Lot, including his family, including all of his stuff. But what happens to Lot, folks? He goes right back to where he was. You with me here? I don't know about you, but if something like that happened, I think I would be like, you know, maybe God's saying I shouldn't be involved with these folks. Right? Maybe God's saying, you know, maybe God's trying to get my attention. You all with me here? The Lot doesn't do that. He gets stuck in the world. Why? Because he's gotten careless. You find something interesting as you're going through these series and as I'm preparing all these messages. You find that the more stuck someone gets, the less they realize that they're stuck. Right? Until all of a sudden they're up to their eyeballs and they can't get out. You remember that from Jacob last time? Oh, I can just lie my way out of it. I can lie my way out of it. Until eventually, all of a sudden, the consequences are coming back on him. And then he's like, okay, I can't get out of this. That's kind of Lot here. He's going and he's like, oh, the world will give me everything I need. Everything will be okay. But you find pretty quickly that's not the case. Number one, getting stuck. Number two, being stuck. Flip over Genesis chapter 19. You're fast forwarding a little bit of time here. We don't know exactly how much. It's kind of hard to gauge it, but somewhere around about 15 to 20 years, okay? Something like that. Okay? So that's kind of the time frame we're looking at. Okay? So somewhere around 15 to 20 years, his little kids that were there when he was with Abraham are now grown. Okay? We know from the Bible, he had two daughters that were married, two daughters that were unmarried, and at least one son. Okay? So that's what we know. Actually, you find an interesting fact there. This is just free, okay? You remember Abraham deals God down? I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember this? And Abraham's dealing God down, and Abraham stops at 10. You know why he stops at 10? Because he had Lot, his wife, his two married daughters, right? With their husbands, right? You have their two unmarried daughters, and then their two sons. There would be 10. Abraham's basically like, surely Lot has at least seen his family. Did he? No. Being stuck. Look at chapter 19 and verse 1. God sends two angels to Sodom to check it out, to see if there are any righteous in the city. Verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. That means when the sun's just starting to go down. Okay? And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Now, let me take a time out there. Sitting in the gate doesn't mean he's just sitting there in the gate and just kind of being casual. Sitting in the gate means that he's the city leader. He's the mayor, if you will. He's the municipal judge. Okay? People would sit in the gate and they would be the judges over the land. You actually find in a little bit that some of the men of the land go and say, are you a judge over us? Lot probably had that position. He has now gotten everything he wanted. Y'all with me here? He lives in this city. He's gotten his worldly reward. He no longer lives in a tent, but in verse 3, you see that he brings the angels into the house. He's gotten the worldly reward. Now let's see if it's what he wanted. His worldly reward. Number 2, his worldly ranking. As he goes through this story, you see how still the world clings to Lot. How still his mind is stuck in the world. Of course, you know what happens in this story. Lot brings these two men into his house. He tells them, no, you need to stay with me over the night. Don't stay in the street. It's not safe. Stay with me. You remember the story? The men come to Lot's house and they say, Lot, you need to send these men out so that we can know them. And you know what that means, of course. Sodomy and things along that line. And Lot goes and does something completely insane in our minds in verse number 8. Look at it. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known men. That's his two unmarried daughters. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you. And it's almost hard to even read it, verse 8. Do ye to them as it is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. The world has taken over the priority even for his family. His family is no longer as important as his reputation as a leader of the city. You all with me here? Can I say, folks, you might say, that would never happen to me. Can I say, I've been in ministry far too long to say that would never happen to me. You all with me? I've seen the world take over families far too many times.
Amen.
Far too many times. You go and you make your priority what you can get out of this world, and pretty quick, every other priority doesn't matter. You're stuck. You're stuck. The world is more important than his family, so much so that he'd take his two virgin unmarried daughters and send them out into this mob to do whatever they want to with him. The world over his faith. These two angels go, they grab Lot and they pull Lot in as the people of the city, the men of the city are trying to abuse Lot. They grab Lot, they pull him in the door, they strike the men of the city with blindness. Verse number 12, these men, angels we find out later, say to Lot, hast thou any here besides son-in-law and thy sons? By the way, that's where we find two sons. And thy daughters, two unmarried, two that are married, because there's two sons-in-laws. That whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the fear, before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Catch verse 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. Catch it, verse 14. But he seemed as one that what?
Mocked
unto his sons-in-law. What happened? The world had taken over for his faith. And all of a sudden, now Lot needs to share his faith. And guess what happens? His family doesn't believe it. Why? Because can I say, they had lived for 15, 20 years seeing Lot living for the world. Right? You know sometimes why kids rebel? This is free, okay? You know why kids rebel a lot of times? Because they see their parents living for the world. They see their parents and their priorities, and then later on, I'm not going to say that that happens every time. Obviously, every person has their own responsibility before God, and every child has their own choice. But can I say, especially in this case, what's happened? Lot has made the world a bigger priority than his family. He's made the world a bigger priority than his faith. God's going to destroy the city, Lot says. He seemed as one that mocked to them. Verse number 15. The world over his future. Verse 15. Catch it. What's verse 15 start with? And when the morning arose. When did everything happen, folks? The beginning of the evening when the sun starts going down. 6 o'clock, we'll say, okay? Now, for 12 hours, the angels have been begging Lot to go. Verse number 15 says that they hastened Lot. Verse number 16 says that Lot lingered. Later on, it says that these angels literally drag Lot and his family out of the city. What has happened? He loves the city so much that he can't even leave. You might say, well, wait a second, preacher. I think he's just waiting for the rest of his family. I think he's just waiting for his sons-in-laws and his daughters to come. Can I say that's not the case? Because later on, at the end of chapter 19, we find he had plenty of time to grab wine. Verse number 19 and verse 32. He has plenty of time to bring his alcohol, but he doesn't have time to follow God. The world is more important than his future. The world's more important even than his following. The angels go and say, escape all the way to the mountain. Get away. And what happens in verse number 19? He goes and says, I can't escape to the mountain. Something bad's going to happen. Why don't I go, verse 20, to just this little city? It's just a little one. It's okay. This, you know, I don't want to go in the cave. Why don't I just hide out in this little city? He's still stuck in the world. His worldly ranking. What matters to him? The world matters to him. The worldly results. Verse number 30. You have a damaged faith. He goes to this city. The angels say, okay, fine. We won't destroy this little city. By the way, can I say, out of Zoar comes something you might know pretty well. You ever heard of Baal before? The name of Zoar is later changed to Baal. Most people believe that the worship of Baal comes because Lot begs these angels to not destroy this little city. But here he is. Lot goes and he is afraid to stay in Zoar. He later on goes and does exactly what the angels say. He runs off to a cave, and there he is, and he hides in the cave. A departed fortune. He had all the money. That's all he ever wanted. He wanted the house. He wanted the power. He wanted the authority. Now he has nothing, living in a cave with his two daughters. You remember? His wife turned back. She became a pillar of salt. Do you remember? His married daughters, they stayed in the city. Sons-in-law stayed in the city. Now it's just Lot and his two daughters left. He's lost it all. He has a damaged faith. He has a departed fortune. He has a destroyed family. We can't even go into verses 33 and 35. But in summary, the daughters go and they think all of mankind is destroyed, despite the fact that that's not what God said. And they go and they say, we need to raise up mankind. And so they go and take the wine that Lot had plenty of time to grab. And they go and they make their father drunk and do immoral things. You look at this and you say, how on earth? Y'all with me here?
Amen.
I've read this story dozens of times. I taught through it. When I used to teach Bible. But can I say, every time I read this, I say, how could Lot have gotten there? You know how Lot got there? Because one day, Lot said, I'm going to pitch my tent towards Sodom. That's where I want to be. Don't wake up like Lot.
Amen.
You know the sad reality of the whole story of Lot? This is the last time we know anything about Lot. Mm-hmm. You all with me here? Mm-hmm. There isn't a later on where Lot comes and Lot gets unstuck, so to speak. You all with me? Mm-hmm. Now, we'll give you some helps in just a second about how to get unstuck from the world. But can I say, there's never any indication that Lot ever gets out of the cave and gets right with God. We don't know that. Right. You all with me here? There's no Bible verse that says, and Lot got right with the Lord, went back to Bethel, started serving God. We don't know that at all. You with me here? What we know is that literally his daughters go, they start their own nations. We know that Lot is here in the cave, and that's where it ends. Can I say, friends, as your pastor and as your friend, don't get there. Don't be there. Don't live so much for this world that you lose sight of all that's valuable. How do you get unstuck from the world? How do you get out of the muck of the world? Take your Bible, flip over to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. We've looked at this passage, probably a very familiar passage to many of you. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 15. It talks about the world. John is in this passage going and explaining how the world is a dangerous thing for the Christian. So how do you get unstuck from the world? How do you get out of the world's trap? Number one, stop living for your feelings. Verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16. For all that is in the world. Number one, what is it? The lust of the what?
Flesh.
What is the flesh, folks? It's this. It's me. It's my body. Right? Get reality. There are certain things that your body wants to do. Correct? Right? Just squeak. My voice is changing. There are certain things your body wants to do. Isn't that right? Certain things that if you just gave in and just said, oh, it's not a big deal, I'll do it. Right? Then you would obviously not be following God. Correct?
Amen.
Right? So what is he saying? He's saying nice and simply, don't live for those things. This isn't rocket science. Don't live for your own feelings. Number two, don't live for the finery of life. The lust of the flesh. Number two, the lust of the eyes. What is that? You see something that you want. That's what it is. There's so... You ever go to the mall or someplace like that? Right? If you go to the mall or you go online shopping, right? Or you do anything like that, you watch TV, guaranteed there will be something that you see and you're like, man, that'd be kind of nice. Right? All of a sudden, the truck commercial comes on. I'm a truck man. Right? You see this big old truck. Right? You're like, man, payments are only $500 a month. I could never pay that, but if I bought one, they'd take it away. Okay? But man, I think I could, wow, you know, I think I could swing that. Can I say drugs? I'm not saying it's bad to buy a truck. I'm not. I have a truck. It's not new. Okay? But I have a truck. I'm not saying it's bad to buy those things. But don't live for those things. You know what they hear?
Amen.
There's hundreds of people in this town that are living for that.
Amen.
You know what they mean? There are people you rub shoulders with every single day that live for the finery of life. They want to get the next thing. And can I say, folks, if you live for those things, you lose everything that's valuable. Amen. You lose what's important. You lose what matters. Number three, don't live for fame. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, that's your feelings. Number two, the lust of the eyes, that's the finery, the nice things of life. Number three, the pride of life. What's the pride of life? That just means you seeming like a better person. I think part of Lot was the finery of life. He wanted to go and have the political position. He wanted to sit in the gate. He wanted to have a little bit of power. But can I say, folks, if you live for that, guaranteed that will never satisfy you. Right? You ever read some of these actors, actresses, things along that line? Some of the things that they say, they're all depressed, right? They're all on anxiety meds. They're all on all these different things. You know with me here? Why on earth would you want to be like that? Live for God. So, don't live for these things. Number four, live for what's forever. That's supposed to say live, not life. Live for what's forever. Verse 17. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth what? Forever. He's saying, if you live for the world, then you will never be satisfied. It will always pass away. No matter how much money you get, no matter how many good feelings you have, you can pursue after those feelings. You can get the highs of the drugs. You can get the highs of the alcohol. But can I say, it always passes away. You can pursue after the money and all the fine things of life. But can I say, you'll never be satisfied by it. You'll always want a little bit more. John D. Rockefeller said, when someone asked him, how much money do you need to be happy? One of the richest people that have ever lived in all of history. He said, one more dollar. One more dollar. Don't live for fame. It'll never bring success. It'll never bring happiness. It always passes away. There's one thing that you can live for, one thing that matters in life, and that's God and His will. That's what it says in verse 17, doesn't it? The world passes away, the lusts thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth what?
Forever.
Nice and simply, folks, consider your love. What do you love? If you love the world, you're not loving God, so start loving God. Pursue after him. Want him. Have a desire to be with him. Get to where you love God again. How do you get unstuck from the world? Consider your love. Number two, change your life. Flip over if you can real quick. 2 Peter chapter number 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. This is the last passage and the only other passage, really, we learn about Lot. The Bible talks a little bit about Lot's two sons from that relationship. But this is the only other passage, really, that talks about Lot specifically. Verse number 7. It's talking about how God can still preserve, even in the midst of problems and trials. It gives the example of Noah that stayed clean in the midst of problems and God preserved in that way. And it uses the example of Lot, a man that didn't stay clean, but God yet still preserved him. Verse 7. And delivered just Lot. Now, let me say real quick. It's not saying he just delivered Lot, because obviously he didn't do that, right? It's saying he delivered righteous Lot. Okay, just means righteous. Okay, so that's the word that's being used. Not that he just delivered Lot. Obviously, he also delivered the daughters and things like that too. Verse 7. He delivered just, or we'll say righteous, righteous Lot. Vexed. That word vexed means tortured. With the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed, tortured his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. How do you get unstuck? Number one, consider your love. What are you loving? Get to where you love God. Number two, change your life. The Bible talks about how God went and God had to condemn Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible talks about, in verse number 5, how Noah was a preacher of godliness, but yet what does Lot do? He sits by and never condemns them. Can I say, friends, if you are one that never teaches your children what's right and wrong, don't be surprised if they follow what's wrong. You with me here?
That's right.
If you never say, this is wrong, this is right, we're pursuing this, then guaranteed your kids are going to follow this. They're going to follow what's wrong. Lot didn't condemn them. As a matter of fact, if you remember back when we were looking at Genesis 19, Lot goes and calls these wicked men brothers. He goes and literally condones their behavior so much that he gives his own daughters to them, or tries to. Condemn. Number two, change. Change. Can I say there was nothing that stopped Lot from moving out of Sodom and Gomorrah? He wasn't forced to live there, was he? No. He wasn't forced to live there. Abraham had the whole rest of the land. You all with me here? Abraham had tons of area, but what happened? Lot said, I'm going to be here and this is where I'm staying. Listen, friends, if you are struggling with what you're watching on TV, get rid of your stupid TV. If you're struggling with what's on your phone, there are a million guards for what's on your phone. Y'all with me here? If you're struggling with fill in the blank, then set some guards up. Change. Don't just keep going down the same road and hope things get better. I guarantee you, they're not going to get better. Change some things if you want to have victory. You all with me here?
That's right.
If Lot should have woken up and been like, look at what's going on with my daughters. Look at what's going on with my kids. Look at what's going on with my family. Hey, I need to get back to Bethel. It was only a few miles away. He could have easily gotten back to the altar of God. But what did he do? No, I'm settled here and this is where I stay. Change. Change. Number three. Communicate. Verse number 8. Talks about how he always saw and heard all these things. It always vexed him. But yet we see from the example of his daughters-in-laws and his sons-in-laws, or his daughters and his sons-in-laws, rather, that he didn't ever share with them the gospel. He didn't communicate it until it was too late. Finally, come out. Come out. Get out of the world. Get out of the temptation that you're falling in. Listen, friends, let me summarize all this because we're going long. The world has a lot of different claws that it'll creep itself into each one of us. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. For some, the world creeps itself in by greed and covetousness. Right? It'll grab on and pull you down. You just want that. If I just had a little bit more money, then I'd be happy. Can I say, you get that, you won't be happy. You go and you say, well, if people admired what I did a little bit more, then I'd be happy. Can I say, you won't be happy. You won't be happy. You know, if I just pursued this, then I would feel better. If I just had this addictive substance, or if I was just able to go after this person, or if I was able to do this, fill in the blank, then I'd be happy. Can I say, friend, you will never be happy with all those things. They will all pass away. Pursue God. Pursue God. Pursue God. Amen. Story of two people. They both were blessed by God in miraculous ways. God spoke to them individually. They both had a relationship with God. They both knew God. But Abraham shows, you know what? I'm going to pursue God. Lot shows, hey, I'm going to pursue the world. And it totally changed their life, their families, everything. Folks, don't get stuck in the world. Hey. Don't get stuck. If you're already stuck, follow some of these patterns. Stop living for those things that aren't pleasing. Start living for God. Love Him. Serve Him. Make a break. Whatever is grabbing you, cut it off. And get out of the muck and start serving God. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Not going to have necessarily a come forward invitation, but here's what we're going to do. I truly believe in every single one of our lives, there's something that the world wants to grab onto. And if the truth were told, I think many of us in this room would say, you know what? The world has grabbed onto me and it's kind of pulled me down some. Not where I need to be spiritually. I, at least in some ways, am worldly. Listen, friends. Get unstuck. Start loving God more than you love fill in the blank. Start pursuing Him more than you're pursuing whatever it is. Start standing up for what's right in your family, in your home, and in your marriage, and whatever it is. Start setting some safeguards if you need to set them. Start communicating, hey, I've struggled with this, and I'm not going to do it anymore. Can I say on a regular basis, I have to go to my kids and say, hey, this is something that I did, I'm sorry. If you're not doing that with your spouse, with your children, then can I say you're not doing right? If you struggle and you do wrong, you need to communicate it. Nice and simply, friends, here's what I want us to do. For just a little bit, I want us to go before the Lord. And whatever God spoke to your heart about, get it settled. Say, Pastor, you know, I feel like I'm doing pretty good. Great. Pray and really check that out. Whatever it is, go before the Lord. Say, Lord, I want to pursue You. Help me to not live after this world. Help me to live for You. Just take 15, 20 seconds, pray, and then we'll close.